All right, let's go into the one knows a green prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 11, right? We're looking at the series, Word of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Go all the way to Hebrews chapter 11. I love sitting at his feet. I love hearing what he says. I love knowing your desires. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Look at that one more time. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I remember many years ago, one of the ways I used to look at this verse many, many years ago was the fact that it says now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It means that faith is now, you know. So it's just one of those hyping ways of making everyone alert when you're preaching or when you're teaching. Yeah, but we looked at that, I think, last week, the word there now. Well, thanks to you all who didn't allow me to teach on Sunday. All right. So I tried, I struggled, but we're here now. All right. So now faith, the word there, we looked at it last Wednesday. The word there now does not speak about a present time or present tense as per now. Actually speaks more from the lens of therefore, moreover, I think we said is the word DE, right? So it means that it should make sense from the previous chapter. So if we look at chapter 10 all the way for verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, right? So the just shall live by faith, right? But if any man draw back, it means the concept of faith has already started from chapter 10. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of our soul. Therefore, faith is a substance, or moreover, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. It's through faith. Look at verse 3. We understand that the worlds were framed. So we see that that's an allusion to Genesis chapter 1. So it means fundamentally, when you look through the beginning of scriptures, right? Yeah, the worlds or the world will be framed by words, right? So there are two use of words, you know, across scriptures. You have the words as per structure, organization, what's the word? People, you know, as per, there's a cosmos part. There's a word that just skipped my mind right now. Yeah, but you see, the true faith, right, that we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that allusion will one way or the other find its rooting or its bearing back in Genesis 1. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what do you see from verse 4? You start seeing the concept of by faith Abel, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch. Right. So if you look at, there's something I taught a few years ago. I don't know if it's so recent that most of us would have been around. If you look at verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, right? And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God or to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out. By faith, he sojourned, verse 9, in the land of promise, verse 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builders and makers is God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Now look at verse 13. These all died in faith, right? These all died in faith, not having received the promises, right? But having seen them afar off, seen into the future, seen God's plan, and were persuaded of them. So they were persuaded of God's plan. They were persuaded of God's storyline. So there's been a storyline from time, and they were persuaded by what or how it was communicated to them, right? They were persuaded. So look at that very well. It says, they were persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Look at how the author of Hebrews ends that chapter. So if you look at verse 32, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell about Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson. So it just calls different men across the scriptures that would have exhibited faith one way or the other. So it now says something in verse 39. It says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, right, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So can you see how we link to chapter 12 again? Wherefore, so you must read the book of Hebrews as an entire book. So you don't just read it as chapters and try to, you know, pick. And that's why I get to the allusion in chapter 10, verse 27, where it says, that one of the scriptures that a lot of people use to talk about one being able to lose his salvation, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that, we receive the knowledge of truth. So ideally, a good way to read the book of Hebrews should be read holistically, read as a book, right, with different thoughts and different chapters, or rather paragraphs as it were. So you see how chapter 11 now says that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are we together? Wherefore, seeing also we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Who are the clouds of witnesses, right? You will trace it backwards, chapter 11, chapter 10, as you can see. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. Now look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of what? Our faith. So the concept of faith does not end in chapter 11. He now goes further in chapter 12 and says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God, or the right hand of the throne of God, right? We've told over time that the concept of the right hand of the throne of God is not as literal as a lot of us take it, as per, you know, as in, you know, if someone is standing and Jesus is at the right hand side always. No, the better way to look at that is a position of authority, a position of influence, right? So he sat at the right hand of God, right? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. So you can keep, you know, looking through how Jesus, you know, the author of Hebrews communicates, you know, some of these things that we are seeing. And now we said last week that, you know, the most important thing that you will get from the concept of faith is that faith will not as much be seen as in full expression if words have not been activated. Right? If words have not been activated, you get what I'm trying to say? Faith will not as much be seen if words have not been activated. So, faith will actually definitely be activated or be seen by the kind of words that are communicated, the kind of words that are said. Now, look through the concept of how your mouth or the mouth of a believer frames the word. You know, I was talking to someone, I think recently, I was in a session with someone recently, and I said something around how in life, let me tell you something about life. Please note this. Life is lived forward, but understood backwards. Right? It's one of the very interesting realities that, as we keep growing, it dawns on us more. Life is lived forward, right? You're growing old. You are getting from age 1, age 2, age 5, age 10, age 50, age 60, and the likes. But a lot of things are actually understood in retrospect. A lot of things are understood when you look back into time. So one of the things that should do for you is that it should put your heart at peace about the fact that there is not a point in your life where you will understand every single thing that happens around you. Are we together? Right? Yeah. There will not be a point in your life, in your time, in your lifetime, where you would have a clear, definite, accurate 100% knowledge about every single thing that happens around you. Right? A lot of times, many things make sense in retrospect. Right? And that should be the lens by which a man of faith actually lives his life. Right? Because you are well assured that there is a relationship you have with a father who is on your inside, who is there to guide you. And then as long as you are obeying and being in obedience to his will, obedience to his voice, to his instructions, right, that should put your heart at peace. Are we together, right? So if you look at how, in Genesis chapter 1 opens up, which we said, okay, you see the concept of chaos, darkness, and the likes. But the fact remains that there were words that were spoken. Now we said there is, I think we looked, was it last week, Sunday or Wednesday, we looked at the three S's, right? What are the three S's? Remember the three S's? We said one is spiritual reality, spiritual things you want to see, spiritual, words or spiritual, spirit-filled words. I think that was the exact word I used, right? Then you now have what you call the substantiation, which is the substance. And the bridge between the two S's will be what? The bridge of the speaker. So there will always need to be a speaker, right? So it means the speaker who will speak must always remember that his mouth is not for decoration. The mouth of the believer is not for decoration. The mouth of the believer is not just for commenting, for social commentaries. The mouth of the believer is not just for, paying or talking about everything and anything. No, the mouth of the believer fundamentally, right, is a tool by which God has put, or that God has put for in the life of a man, to be able to use to communicate particularly, and also for the believer to be able to give lending voice or vocals to spirit-filled ideologies or words before you can see the substantiation. Altogether, right? So if you look Genesis chapter 1, there was a spirit, then there was a speech. Right, so it says spirit, we talk about spirit filled words, there'll be the speech, and God said, let there be light. Right, so just go to Genesis chapter 1 quickly. Let's just run there quickly and see what we have there. Genesis chapter 1 and go all the way to verse 3. Right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light. Altogether, and I said, any which way you want to look at it, whether you want to look at it from the lens of Christocentric, the Christocentric lens, or want to look at it from the creation of nature, as it were, the truth is just that there needed to be things, there needed to be spirit, there needed to be an ideology that needed to happen, there needed to be a substantiation, and then there needed to be a saying, right? So, and God said, let there be light. Look at verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So let there be light is what needed to be said. God, the one speaker, will speak, and there will be light. Hebrews 12:11 will now say, we understand that through faith the worlds were framed. Altogether, look at that carefully. When Hebrews chapter 11, when he is communicating, and through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, right? So you see the linkage. See, all you see on the broad, on the surface area of Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, chapter 1 verse 1 to 3 is word spoken. What is happening behind is actually the concept of faith. So Hebrews will now let you see that through faith, are we together? Through faith. So faith is the back engine, like the engine room, right? And you see words giving life. Are we together? You see words giving life to faith. So it means at every time in a man's life, a man ought to ensure, particularly as a believer, you pay attention to the words that comes out of your mouth. Never speak defeat. Are we together? Let defeat as a concept be far from you. Right, regardless of whatever situation or whatever condition you find yourself, regardless of wherever you find yourself, right, let defeat be far from you. Let the concept of defeat be far from you, right? What does that do for you? It helps you program your mind, your body, because words are powerful. Are we together? Words are powerful. How do you know words are powerful, right? You have track records of examples where words were spoken in scriptures and supernatural things happened. We looked at Lazarus, I think, in the last meeting, right? So Lazarus will say, Jesus and Lazarus. And just through words, and you see something happening. I went together and looked at the fig tree, I believe, right? Just through words, you see things happening. Are we together? So things happen when words are spoken, right? See, as a believer, don't get yourself to a point where you want to try and be testing there. And okay, like I said last week, yeah, you see some people say things like, oh, if words are that powerful, how come when I say I want to have 1 billion next week, it doesn't happen that way? No, that's not faith. That's actually been very interesting. Are we together? Yeah, that's not faith. That's not faith. You know that, I hope you know that faith, even when it is voiced out, there are various other conditions that needs to be in place before you can see a full substantiation. What I'm trying to say is that it's not just about words. Are we together? Words are powerful. Words are predominant. But it's not just about words. Let me use a quick example. Are we together? Peter at the gate called Beautiful. Acts chapter, I think that's Acts chapter 4. right? Yeah, and he will say, right, rise up and walk. The man to whom needs a healing would actually need to what? Respond to the instruction, such that if there was no response to the instruction, there is every tendency that that man who is begging for arm at that gate will actually remain at that gate. You see, many factors, many things altogether. So if you want to use it for money, right, and just say, you know, my words are filled words, money come. You know, some people just live their life that way, money come, money come. Yeah, that there's nothing entirely wrong in money come, money come, money come. But you must remember that money that will come to you will be found on or in the pocket of another man. Altogether, another human being. What I'm trying to say is that there is no central bank of heaven where there's a universal currency or a vault that has all the denominations in this world. Think about it. That cannot make sense. Altogether, right? So you will say, money come, money come. That money should have. That's why any money that doesn't have a serial number is fake. Altogether, we even have money with serial numbers. Altogether, that's still fake. So I'm trying to say to you that if there needs to be a tracking down of serial numbers on money, it means there is a government, a system, an economic situation that has produced those papers that you call currency. Altogether, right? So think about it, right? No matter how much you wish or you will to actually want certain things to happen, no, let's flip the switch. It might make it easier this way. There are many times that God has laid it on your heart to be the answer to another man's prayer. Altogether. Yeah, you know, I was telling you an example of a pastor who I can't remember what I was actually doing. I think I was either just about to sleep or about to pray, you know, and something just happened. I just got led to, you know, reach out to one of the missionaries I knew, right, in very interior part of Africa, right? And I just asked him to send his account number to me, and he didn't ask for anything, he didn't solicit for anything, he didn't make anything public, right? But I just sent an amount to him. I can't remember the full details, but I was on Facebook. I just sent an amount to him, right? Only for him to tell me later on that actually at that point it was, I think, his wife or his daughter, right? They were in the hospital, and the exact money they needed to sort out that hospital bill was what I sent to them. Altogether, what happened? I can tell you for free, I know him very well. He is a man of faith. He's a man who uses words of faith, or use the word of faith as a concept to hold himself and his family. Altogether, think about a missionary doing work in interior parts. You've got to be a man of faith. Altogether, right? So I was the answer to that prayer at that time. But guess what? Two things. Imagine if coincidentally I just thought I needed to complete a movie I was watching, or I needed to, you know, complete a series I started watching, perhaps a movie I was watching, or just do something, or not even to act. What has happened? His faith is working. So a good believer ought not to say, I'll get to a let's assume. Think about it. I'm assuming, because he told me these days after. I'm assuming I was the only one that sent. It's a big assumption, but let's assume. I'm assuming I was the only one that sent that money to him that day. Now, imagine if he doesn't get that money. He didn't get that money. Things go south, or things did not go as planned. Altogether, it would be wrong for him as a believer to assume that faith does not work. Right? Yeah? That, our pastor is just, you know, use words, use your... No. The concept of faith does not work is a myth, which is linked. There's a teaching that Pastor Nenka did a couple years ago, right? The myth of unanswered prayer. I think that was 2014 or 15, right? And what we're just trying to debunk there is that what you call unanswered prayer actually is not as people imagine it. You know, you just say, because I said it, I did not see it, then God doesn't answer prayer. No, that's not a conclusion to get to, because there will always be many other factors that will need to be aligned in order for something to actually act. Are we together? Right? You get what I'm trying to say? Right? I've not seen situations where you see people who are on the sick bed and they've been there for a while, right? And they just actually decide that they don't want to stay in this world again because they're going through too much or so much pain. Altogether, right? So you cannot now get to a conclusion and you say, I prayed and it's still, those are no words that should proceed from the mouth of a believer. I can always tell you, the devil plays a long game. Right. I remember, you know, after my dad passed, went to the mortuary, you know, closed up. I did what the scripture said. You see, Peter saw what Jesus did to raise up the dead. I went together. His mother-in-law. I went together. Peter did the exact same thing in the book of Acts. I went together. Right. So I looked through the scriptures. I did what Peter did that he saw Jesus do. It means I did what Jesus did what Peter did. Got into the mortuary, closed in the door. I went together. Right. And, you know, myself and the family, we prayed. You see, my conclusion was never out of that place that faith does not work. No, my conclusion was never out of that place that God doesn't answer prayer. So you know what I needed to do for myself, right? The first thing I did was I was looking for sick people to pray for, right? In fact, I got to the point I wasn't coming in contact with so many sick people. I started healing people on WhatsApp. I did it once, I think it was for a period of time, right? I never did it again. That was 2018, right? In fact, our choir master at the time was one of the people that got healed. So I still have a lot of the chats, right? By word of knowledge, I would just identify a sickness by the Spirit. I would just say it, right? And people were just texting me. I would just a chat. People were just texting me. Oh, in fact, there was a lady I remember. I think her name is Jemima, right? Yeah. And she was just, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's 2018. Yeah. So that's like 8 years ago, right? And she just literally told me that she was in the gym. She actually finished, you know, when you do some reps and you want to rest. So she was doing some of her reps. She rested. She sat down at the gym, picked her phone to while away time as she's resting. And she scrolled through my WhatsApp chat. And the pain she had had just got, as soon as she read it, she just got healed. Altogether, I had different people, different categories, had different, I've seen different things happen. But let me tell you something. Why was I doing that? It was from my heart, because the devil plays a long game. If I did not do it that time, I can tell you for free that even though I might still be pastoring today, there will be a very heavy burden of doubt on my heart regarding the supernatural and the healing power of God. Altogether. So why am I saying this example to you? When you see situations happen to you, the first thing you do is get yourself up, and do what? Try to ensure that you are aware. See, try to remind yourself with the sense of awareness that you know that the devil is playing a long game. Right? So you get yourself up and go and do that which the Bible says. So when the Bible says you will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Right? You lay hands on somebody and the person dies. What do you not say? You don't allow that experience to replace the Bible verse. You don't allow the experience to replace the Bible verse. What should you go back to the next time you see a sick person? You shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Altogether. Right? Yeah? That's true faith. Yeah, some of us get so logical and very experienced with our, science and logic and everything that we just put all of these things at the back shelf, right? But the truth remains that there is such a thing called staying with the word and seeing the word for what it says. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went around doing good, healing them that were oppressed, delivering the sick, from captivities and the like. So that's a template so that's what your mind should go to. Yeah, a friend of mine was asking me a question recently, right? It was just a very innocent, beautiful question, which I believe is on the hearts of many believers, right? And he said that he's not been experiencing the gift of healing, as it were, in his ministry and his life, as it were, right? The way he expects. So I listened to him, and I just, ended the conversation by just saying something. I said, you see where the problem is? It is the way I expect. That clause, the way I expect, what it does, it puts the burden on you. Do you get the point? Yeah, the burden of healing, the burden of supernatural help is not to be on you. The only burden that should be on you is acting as the bridge, the speaker between spirit-filled words and substantiation. Altogether, the burden of substantiation is not on you. However, you have all it takes to ignite or to fuel or to activate, altogether, the concept of substantiation. Yeah. So, yeah, and it, of the truth, and I ask, sometimes we just need to put things in perspective, right? And I asked a clear question, right? So he said that, for instance, he has gone for special meetings, for instance, and he saw that he has seen some healing happen. So these are healing. He has seen healing happen in his life in the last 1 year than he has ever seen. And he said it's like 60% accurate. And I asked him a question. I said, 3 years ago, could you boast of 60% accuracy in laying hands on the sick and they recover? Yeah, so the devil plays a long game. You know what the devil is trying to do to a man like that? He's trying to make you see, 60% over 100 is faith. And I said to him, I said, don't you believe that if there's anybody who has 100% accuracy in being the final authority over substantiation, no human being in this world should die. Yeah, because once we identify that human being, you got what I'm trying to say? Once we identify that human being, any case in this world, what do you do? Let him even be charging $1 million. All right. Those that can afford it, those that can take it, those that will sell their property, they will do it to get him. Yeah. If you know of anybody, any human being who is 100% based on every substantiation that proceeds out of their mouth as words of faith, right? It comes into reality. If any of that exists, are we together, right? You should actually learn to go. We should go and protect that man by all costs. Look at Mark 4. Look at Mark chapter 4. If you look at Mark, look at Mark chapter, let's look at an example. Let's look at Mark 5. Okay, let's look at Mark 6, then go back to Mark 5, then go back to Mark 4. So look at Mark 6. So Jesus went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him, right? And when, verse 2, the Sabbath day was come, what happened? Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. What were they saying? From whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him? That even such mighty works are wrought by his hands. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? So that's an evidence to show that Jesus was not just the son of carpenter, he was also a carpenter. Altogether, he says, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Don't remove aunt and Mary and just say, Jesus, the carpenter's son alone. No, he was a carpenter, right? The brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? Look at verse, the next verse. It says, and they were offended at him. What did Jesus say unto him? But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin in his own house. Is that not the reality of a lot of people today? Where we can't receive from ourselves in our families. Altogether, we can't receive from our sisters, our brothers, our friends, our cousins, our relatives. Altogether, right? You know, and that has affected a lot of relationships. I'm grateful to God for the kind of relationships and friendships I have, you know, particularly friendships that, you know, are spirit-filled, friendships that are spirit-led, you know, they're supernatural relationships. And like, you know, I have some friends who sometimes they reach out to me and they give me a call and they say, Joshua, YBJ, whatever name they call me. And they said, I'm not calling you as my friend, right? I'm calling you as God's servant. Altogether, I want to seek God's counsel or God's voice on this. Altogether, right? You see, I know a lot of times words, oh gracious Father, I don't want to touch this, troublesome, right? But a lot of times, the reason why a lot of us don't go back to certain things that should be beneficial to us is the same use of words that we've used in time past. I was telling someone recently, I said, the reason why it looks like your relationship with your partner seems to be getting out of hand is because there are words you've said to somebody. And in those words you said to somebody, you are holding yourself accountable to those words. You know how it works, right? Yeah. If me and Sister Martha, for instance, we have an issue altogether, right? And I go and call Sister Bukola and I say, Sister Bukola, don't mind that, Sister Martha. I will never again in my life talk to her. Yeah. If I talk to her again, my life, call me a bass. You know the easy word they always call. Yeah, what happened? I'm always thinking, call me a bass. Mm-hmm. Call me a bass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So because of those words I've said, I'm going to ensure that I want to be true to myself so they don't call me a bass. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Use of words as well. Right. So I'm saying a lot of times, the reason why it is difficult for us to receive as much from the people who God has put around us, right, is actually words again that we've used negatively. Praise God. So Jesus says, a man, a prophet, is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Now, what happens in verse 5? Look carefully. So what was Jesus willing to do in his own country to get the blessedness from God's spirit across to the people, right, to be a blessing to the people? So what did the Bible say in verse 5? And he could dare do no mighty work. Save, that word there, save, means except that he laid his hands upon how many? A few sick folk, right? And he what? Healed them. So the few that were there, God healed. Are we together, right? So it means in this concept, the reason why he could lay hands on the sick folks or a few sick folks is because they made themselves available in honor to him. You know what I'm trying to say? Right? So there's every tendency that if Jesus just spoke into the city and said, everybody that is here, get healed. Every tendency that not all of them will get healed. Because see the heart or the posture of some of them, the words they were saying, is that not the carpenter? Is that not the carpenter? Is that not the sister of, is that not the son of Mary? Right? So he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and he healed them. Look at verse 6. And he marveled because of what? Their unbelief. So in the real sense, unbelief can be seen in kind of words that are spoken. Altogether, unbelief can be seen in the kind of words that are spoken, right? So the Bible says he healed them and marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages, he continued what? Teaching. Look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. Look at chapter 5, right? And they came over onto the other side of the sea in the country of Gadarenes, right? And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, right? And no man could bind him, not with chains. Are we together, right? Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. Let me just say one very funny thing I saw. I saw a video recently of a lady went to go and eat in a restaurant, right? So as she was eating, apparently there was a correction center. I don't know if that's what it's called generally. Psychiatric home or what, somewhere around. And one of the patients ran away from the place and they were looking for him. So the guy who is one of the patients that ran away, he went to a restaurant and he sat down and he saw a beautiful lady in front and said, we called the waiter. Give an instruction. Go and give her food. Let her eat anything she wants to eat. So she piled up everything she wanted to eat. She put everything on her table. Only for when it was time for her to almost finish eating, yeah, the guys who have been looking all around finally found him and caught him and actually realized that he was a madman. So when I just read this story, I just remember that. So this is an example of somebody who actually needed help, right? And always night and day, verse 5, he was in the mountains and in tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. That was intense, right? But when he saw Jesus afar off, what did he do? He ran and worshipped and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Look at verse 8. "For he said unto him," come on. So it means that Jesus did not address the words that he heard from that man as the words of that man. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Look at that carefully. Yeah? He says, "And the man cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." That's a man that is tormented, saying, "Do not torment me." So it means that the voice that Jesus heard was not as much the voice of the man himself, right? So for Jesus to say unto him, "Come out of the man." You see, Jesus found that there is a being behind the being. Altogether, there was a being behind the being. So he spoke to the being. What did he call the being? "Thou unclean spirit." Altogether. So come out of the man. So who was he speaking to? When he said, so people will see him talk to a man and say, "Come out of the man." However, it is not the man he is talking to. He is talking to the unclean spirit, the being behind the being. So he says, "Come out." So watch this. What did Jesus want to see? A man delivered from the oppression of the darkness or the oppression or torment of the devil. What did he want to see, right? He wanted to see a man delivered from the oppression of the devil. So what did he do? He, as a speaker, spoke. Are we together, right? So spirit-filled words come out of the man, spoken by the speaker, Jesus, right? And what happens? We see the evidence. So look at verse 9. And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Do you get the point? Yeah? "My name is Legion, for we are many" cannot and should not be the normal ideological statement spoken or said from the lips of one man. Altogether. So, and he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Look at verse 10. "And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may what? Enter into them." Verse 13. "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out of" who? "Of the man. And went." So it means that, you see, a lot of times, let me tell you something. Some things we are trying to correct with correctional centers and psychological homes or therapists or, what do you call it, consultants or counselors. Some things are actually more spiritual than physical. Altogether. Yeah. More spiritual than physical. Yeah. When you see somebody who has that habit of using razor to cut themselves, that's not normal. Yeah, that's not just what you just say. Yeah, just say go and sit down in the room and put your hand like this. I'm doing you, yeah, yeah, you, and put on almond vanilla candle. There are some, you know, there are times when I lay hands on people, and the first thing I can discern for a sickness is actually an oppression of the devil. More like it actually requires a casting out of demons. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Yeah, and from this conversation and this illustration, you can tell that when demons are casted out, right, they either go out, roam around, look for how to continue their indwelling, are we together, right, or they will just find an immediate person. Sometimes you see some people say things like they casted out a demon from someone and something entered into them, right? So those things do actually happen. Those things happen. You know, I always tell you as your pastor, right, don't follow this woke generation of that doesn't want to have a complete balanced ideology of supernatural and demonic activities. Obviously, your mind should not pay more attention to demonic activities of the devil, work of the devil, but those things really do happen. Either you call it demonic oppression or demonic possession, those things do happen. Are we together, right? Yeah, so if you look carefully in verse 13 again, it says, and forthwith Jesus gave them to leave. And what happened? And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine, and their head ran violently. So can you see the violence that made them, so the spirit that made the man to act violently went out of that spirit, right? And went out of that man and went into the swine. Watch what happens to the swine. The Bible says, and it entered into the swine, and the herd ran how? Violently down a steep place into the sea. So there are some violence you see in some people. It is demonic. It is demonic. Amen. There are some violence you see in some people. It is demonic. There are some violence. Let me say it again. There are some activities that you see in some people. It's not what your eyes is seeing. I don't get that. But guess what? You have words you could use to take charge of situations. I was hearing a story from a pastor, I think recently, talking about how I think a brother in the church was having an interaction with, I mean, he was double dating in the church, right? And he still, you know, had relationship with the lady on the Thursday and got married on the Saturday. So on a Sunday, I think for Thanksgiving, what happened? The woman comes into the church with acid. And everybody ran away. How can you see somebody coming to church with acid, right? Even if you want to cast out demon, please stay afar. Because demon that can be violent can actually open the bottle and while they are trying to escape, it is splashed on you. And so you stay aside. So that, you know, see, there is the part of wisdom as well. Are we together? But that does not mean that every small case, you just say wisdom. Every demonic oppression, everything is wisdom. No. That's not the point. I'm talking about acid. That's something that you can cast out the demon. The acid will stain your body for life. Are we together? I remember, you know, it's a very interesting story. I remember there was a demonic oppressed guy for my dad's story. He said a story of, I think he said it was a madness more often than not, right? It's demonic oppression. Don't let anybody deceive you, right? So, I mean, he went to church and there was a guy that sells, you know, what we call suya in Africa, right? And he went, they took the knife from the suya guy, right? And he started going around to chase people and everybody started running. So my dad was coming to church and he saw him and he just stood wherever he stood. I don't know the exact distance and everything. But you see, that kind of situation, the best thing you do is keep arm's length. Are we together? Right? Keep arm's length, not the one that you'll be violently, something's violently before you know it, they use knife to tear you. Right? So my dad's experience was what? He just said some words to the guy and the guy actually came right, the demons left him and he came right to my dad's knee, leg side rather, and he knelt down and handed over the knife to my dad. And that's how he got delivered. Right? You know, some of us now, I ridicule the story, knife is us. As they are bringing the knife close. Let everybody stay in their lane. No, please go and drop the knife where you took it. I'm just trying to communicate it. I'm trying to be as jovial as possible, but I wanted to get the point behind the point. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So there are lots of things that we see with our eyes and there is more behind the scene than meets the eyes. So this guy, look at it though. Demonic influence over the life of a man, and the demons are casted, and he went into a pit. So it means there are some dogs that the way they behave, they are demonic possessed. Don't be playing on the, for those of you, okay, you're in UK church, don't be running on the road and everything. It's your friend, it's your friend. No, stay, it's your friend. No. Because except the cement is sharp. Yeah? It can't be just going around, just every dog, you just rub their head. There are some dogs that demon spirit that came out from people at this that enter inside them. I don't remember the story. Should I talk about this story? I was on the call with my friend a few months ago. I'm sorry, it's funny. If he hears this, I'm sorry. But I'm sure he too will laugh. You know, I was just on the call, we were just having a talk, and he was just walking. He was in the UK. All of a sudden, we were just talking to you. I said, oh, I said, yeah, oh. Me on the other hand, I started speaking in tongues because I don't know what was happening. God bless his soul. Right, and he's a friend of mine. He has livestock in his father's house in Nigeria. They have all kinds of animals: dog, cat, parrot, tortoise. His father's house is like a zoo, so he was used to dog. I started yelling. Yeah, that's when I hear somebody running. So I had to hang up the phone. I started interceding for my dear friend. Holy friend to call me after I say, and it was like 10 p.m. I think it was this time last year or 2 years ago. Apparently, the owner of the dog left the leash of the dog. So he started shouting at the owner, oh, God, take your dog. Oh, God, take your dog. And the guy, owner was trying to say, no, he's friendly. He doesn't bite. Don't run. Just stay. That's how they chased my brother. Anyway, so there are some animals like that it is not normal eyes. And some of us that used to go to all these countries and go and be snapped, I almost did it a few years ago, right? But I just remembered some scenarios and I left the place where I think it was in Thailand, right? Where they said to come and snap with the tiger. I think it's tiger or is a leopard, right? And not the one that the demon that enters inside the leopard is quiet till you are close. You know, it's not where they have something to lose. There's some people that have future, and demons know those that have future altogether. So, you know, the more you grow, you just leave some overexciting things for the past altogether, right? So you paid your money to a different country. You enter as a lion's den. There was a lady who went to go and pay. She went to go and pay for a hotel in the safari, and the hotel, the room she paid for has a glass into the lion's den. I started video. I think you've seen the video. And you know that kind of thing where some of you are mind, you are praying, you are hoping she is safe, but you are praying she has an experience. And you stay in there, and all the lions start coming close to you. You're actually seeing a lion. Who told you the kind of glass they put there? And so this, I'm just, see, why are we talking about this thing? Look at this particular verse says that the unclean spirit went into them and they behaved in a silly way such that they ran violently down a steep place. Let me tell you something. Not it ran, not him ran or she ran. Yeah, they ran. Right? So they ran, what is that verse again? They ran violently down a steep place into the sea. Look at the number there. Can you see the number there? They were how many? They were about 2,000. And they were choked in the sea. Let me tell you, most of them would have died, if not all. Demonic oppression. All together. But how did Jesus deal with it? He dealt with it by words. What did he say? Go back to verse 8. Come out of the man. So they were not wrong when they say we're plenty. My name is Legion. Altogether, right? My name is Legion. Right? So, and verse 14, and they that fed the swine, they fled. Why won't you flee? Right? And told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was done. And they come to Jesus, and they came to Jesus, and saw him and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. Imagine as much demonic oppression that could chase 2,000 that will chase 2,000 pigs, right, into a steep valley, violently, all living in one man. All together, right? So he says, and they came to Jesus, right, and they were up, and they had Legion sitting, and he was clothed and in his right mind, so that he was delivered, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Right? Howbeit, Jesus offered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee and had compassion on you. Altogether. So if you look through that, now the next story, let me just jump to the next story. Look at what the lady says in verse 28. For she said, you know the story already. Look at verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes. She what? She said. Right? She said, if I may. She didn't imagine. She didn't just imagine. She didn't just think. She pictured it. Then wanted to see a substantiation of the picture she saw. And how did she bring it to reality? She said it. The moment she said it, he affirmed something in her heart. Then she acted. Altogether, right? If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she has been healed from the plague. Right? And Jesus noticed that something happened. Look at what Jesus said to her in 34. Daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Altogether, look at verse 41. Yeah, look at verse 40. Look at verse 30. Let's actually read from verse 37. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John. Right? You know, I gave an allusion to this story earlier on. Right? Peter, James, and John went to him, and he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and see the tumult. Right? And them that wept and wailed greatly. What did Jesus do? And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. There are people who laugh at your words of faith. You take them out of your life immediately. Now, not to go and say you go and destroy their... No, no, no. Yeah, you just make sure you don't allow their influence in your sphere. Imagine you are trusting God for something. Yeah, I'm trusting God that I'll be healed. I'm trusting God that I will not need to go through that surgery. And someone just say, okay now. You see, that's not the kind of person you are allowed to repeat that. Okay now. Altogether. Look at Jesus. Think about it. Jesus, God in the flesh, needed to also be careful about his environment. Jesus, God in the flesh, look at 1 Corinthians. We'll come back to Mark now. Please just run to 1 Corinthians. Go all the way to verse 15, chapter 15. I think it's verse 33 or 23. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. We'll look at this more again on Sunday. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, right? Yeah, let's just read in the middle of a thought there. But look at what he says in verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication. Yeah, in Mark 5, what was the communication? They laughed him to scorn. So evil communication is not even alone as much as words spoken. Yeah, it includes body language. It includes responses. It includes body responses. It includes the word yimu. You know what they call yimu? Yeah? So he says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts. Goodbye. We'll look at some of the scripture again in Proverbs. Let me just focus on Mark 5 today. Right? So they laughed at him in verse 40. I'm back to Mark 5, 40. The Bible says they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. Right? You know why? Yeah, at least a good father and a good mother, if nobody else wants the daughter to come back to life, a good father and a good mother will want them to come back to life. You get the point? Yeah, you get the point. So it means that there are situations that you don't need to introduce everybody into it. Altogether. Yeah? There are situations you don't need to introduce everybody into it. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? That's why, see, there's sometimes you want to lay hands on people, maybe in a meeting, maybe as a minister, you're laying hands on people in a meeting, right? And you can talk from where you are and speak the words and just let it get, locate the person and the person gets healed. But there are times you call people out, you speak to their ears, because there's sometimes there are things you don't want other people to hear to create an atmosphere that might cause a sense of disbelief or unbelief. Yeah, so you must learn the act and the practice of ensuring you shut out bad communication, bad influences. Let me tell you, if you are somebody who is trusting God for any healing in any part of your body, right? The fact remains that you must not be one giving to comedic shows or comedies or comedians that mock the power of the Holy Ghost or that mock anything about the Christian faith. Altogether, right? Like I always tell you, the devil plays a long game. The devil plays a long game. Right? So he says, the last thing to come, he now says he took them out of the father and the mother of the damsel, and then that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. So that means Peter, James, is that correct? Peter, James, John, Jesus, four of them with the mother and the father. Is that correct? That's six of them. Then the dead body, seven. Right? And Jesus said, of a truth, right? We are six that are here to raise the dead, and we will be seven that will be alive upon, you know, when this is completed. So the Bible now says, right, that and them that were with him, and they entered into the damsel's room. Verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talita kumi. Altogether, which is being interpreted, damsel, right? So Talita kumi, right, is a Hebrew Greek way of speaking or saying something that has an interpretation. Damsel, I say to thee, arise. I think that somebody's name, Talita kumi. I think I have a friend who is called Talita kumi. Yeah. And what happened in verse 42? And straight away, the damsel what? Talita kumi. The damsel kumit, right? The damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with the greatest astonishment, and he charged them straight that no man should know it. And he commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Why do you think something should be given to her to eat? So that she will not quickly die again. Yeah, that's what happened when Peter was preaching and Eutychus fell. The first thing when you raise the dead, give them food. You don't know the journey they are coming from. Once you raise the dead, give them food. Yeah, so learn it. It's both Bible, it's both medicine. Right? Yeah. So you see an example. He spoke words. He spoke words. The same words he spoke. Right? I don't mean the exact words as in the things he said. But the same idea he used, which is use of words, was what he used to cast out a legion. The same idea of what is what you used to what? Raise the dead. So what are those dead things in your life? What do you need to bring it back to life? Yeah, words. Together, what are scenarios, relationships, friendships that are operating under the influence of demonic oppression or operating under the influence of Satan and the devil? What do you need? Words. Together, words. Words. Go back to chapter 4. You know, we said we'll do chapter 6, chapter 5, chapter 4. Let's just look at chapter 4, verse 36. Mark 4, 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was where? In the hinder part of the ship. He was what? Asleep on a pillow. So Jesus was sleeping when the storm was raging. And they went to wake him up, right, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What did Jesus do in verse 39? And he arose and he rebuked. What does it mean to rebuke the wind? It's not that he changed his face towards the wind. To rebuke the wind there means he said something. How do you know? Look at the next verse. Bible says, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. Dear saints, what is that situation that seems very complex, that seems very overwhelming? Right? That seems like the storm is raging and seems like the storm is going to make the boat to capsize. And say, yeah, let me tell you something. There are words that God expects you to speak. Speak words into situations in your life. Speak words into scenarios in your life, regardless of what it is. So, you know why we're reading Mark this way? We're reading Mark is to show us the different dynamics of examples used in the scriptures, right? That actually will be templates for as much any other thing you can imagine. What I mean is, I don't think there's anything higher than bringing a dead person back to life. I don't think so. Altogether. So it means if a dead person come back to life, there is no case that cannot be corrected. Are you with me? There is no case that cannot be corrected. Legs can grow out. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? Legs can grow out. Yeah? Kidneys can be replaced. Livers can be replaced. Hearts can be replaced. Altogether. Yeah? What are you saying? That's the big question. I think I asked that question last week. What are you saying? What are you saying? Don't forget we started this teaching by saying something today, right? Life is lived forward and understood backwards. Yeah? A lot of times, when you move past a situation, when you look back at the words you said in a situation, you might not be proud of yourself. So the big question is, with that intentionality, are you deliberate about the words you are speaking in every situation from today going forward? Altogether. So Jesus said, peace be still. And the Bible says the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? Yeah? How is it? So before he started addressing their fear, he first calmed the sea. Yeah? There's some talk you talk after the matter is finished. All together. He didn't first start saying to them, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? In him saying, why are you fearful to them, into small fear can be entering inside. Are we together? Right? So evil communication, you don't allow anything to corrupt your ideology about believing so much in God's power. And they fed exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. So we've seen wind obey Jesus. We've seen tree obey Jesus. We've seen sea obey Jesus. We've seen dead body obey Jesus. We've seen legion obey Jesus. Is that five? What else in this world can exist, right, that will not be within the confines on any of this? What else? What else? What else? What else? Don't forget, when Jesus was casting out the legion from that guy, they asked to go into the ship. Are we together? And as they asked, according to their faith, they got. You get the point? So, peace be still is that which you keep saying to yourself, regardless of the situation. Look at yourself in situations where you are getting carried away and overwhelmed by whatever life brings your way. And you are trying to, you are getting, I always say it this way. We know a test of how you're growing when situations arise. All together. We know a test of how you're growing when situations arise. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. To know how much I believed in God's power, even though, yes, definitely I need to guard my heart. When my dad had passed, for instance, for me, when I look back in retrospect, I'm proud of myself to have seen that I thought it necessary. Nobody told me. I thought it necessary to look for the sick to heal. It meant that at that point, I had a conviction. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? If things happen and you display a way that shocks you, right? The thing is, you are shocked at your response. Right? It means there's something you are paying attention to wrongly. And you know, in this life, there's nothing like neutrality. Yeah? If you are not paying attention to God's word, you are paying attention to the world. Let me say it differently so it can sound very interesting. If you are not paying attention to God's word, you are paying attention to God's world. Yeah? If you're not paying attention to God's word, you are paying attention to the world. That's exactly what I mean. There's nothing like, I don't pay attention to the world. No. How can you interact 8 hours in a day at work? Right? And you say you don't study God's word throughout the week. 8 hours times 5 days, that's 40 hours in a week. Don't forget, out of 160, how many hours? 24 times 7. Right? Out of 168 hours, don't forget, a lot of us are sleeping half of that. 12 hour sleepers. Yeah? Finish work, get back home by 6. You just snore, turn your face, you snore, you sleep till 6 a.m. Okay? Right? That's 12 hours gone. So 168 divided by 2, that's what? It's 4 hours gone in sleep. 40 hours to work. And the remaining what? How many hours that are left? You just need to catch up on what? So there's nothing like neutrality. No. Yeah? That, see, what the Paul mean when he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah? It means by default, if you are not being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you are automatically conforming to what? To this world. Please note that. If you are not being transformed by the renewing of your mind intentionally, you are automatically conforming to this world. That's why your ideologies are the way they are. Altogether. That's why, sometimes, let situations that come your way be your litmus test to validate how well you are paying attention to God's word. Did you hear what I just said? Or to validate how well you are transforming your heart by God's word. I'll say it again. Let situations that come your way, right, be what validate. So don't flog yourself up. Let me tell you, dear saints. Yeah, you see, what the thing about Christian faith that I love the most about Christian faith is the moment you identify a problem, you can from that moment change your path immediately. Genesis, you don't have to wait for a new month. Some of us that like to start things on the first. Yeah? See, an example. If you say you're going to read your Bible this month, 10 chapters every day, you read on the first, you read on the second, you've not read from the second to today. What you do is you don't wait for 1st of July. What do you do? Go back and start this night. That's the thing about Christian faith. So if we hear a message like this, right? Evil communication corrupts good mind. Yeah, if you hear all these things together, what you're not saying is, I want to gradually get myself into a brand new week or a brand new quarter. Yeah, kill three. Mm-mm. You start and you act immediately. All together. So if anything happens and you are shocked at your response, are we together, right? Yeah. I remember something happened to me, I think a while ago, right? Someone had said something to me. I won't talk about details. Someone had said something to me. And I realized that before I went to bed that night, I slept with that burden. The person said they saw something. That was like 3-4 years ago. 2022. Yeah. Said they saw something. It was very bad, right? Said they saw something, right? And I went to bed that night and I was very troubled. And the reason for that was because, let me not give it away. But the reason for that was because, humanly speaking, some of the things I was seeing, humanly speaking, connects to what they said. So I slept the first night. I woke up the next morning, you know, I just didn't give too much thought about it. So I knew I had a bad, it was just heavy on my heart, right? Towards the midday as well of that day, I just realized I finished some meetings and I was just thinking about it, right? And it just dawned on me. I was like, oh, the reason you feel this fearful is because you've not paid as much attention to the word. Like it was just a litmus test for me. You know what I'm trying to say? You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? See, if someone said to you that so and so bad is going to happen next month, your response, without the bad thing happening or not, your response in the heat of the moment can reveal to you where your heart has been. It's simple. Don't fight it. You see, and this thing I'm talking about, nobody needs to know. Except maybe you want to be accountable to somebody. Do you understand? But nobody needs to know. If it just pricks you, if it touches you, what do you do? If it touches you, below the belt, what do you do? Just adjust immediately. Right? You just see it as a litmus test, just show. One of the things I am almost very certain. Obviously, we are going to keep growing and many things will still keep happening. But you know, like I've always said to you, my siblings they've come to a conclusion where when it comes to investing and doing some of these very interesting things, you know, that they know that if anything happens to anything I invest, I'll still preach Jesus. I'll still go on the street and preach. I don't get moody. Yeah. For some of us, it's not investment. For some of us, it can be anything, right? See, ideally for me, many years ago, maybe money would have been that one thing. I know that if money touched me, it will shake me like that. Then maybe another thing can be the fear of something evil and something bad happening, you know? But the truth is, I've gotten over it. And the only way I could do it was through God's word. Yeah, I said it severally. There are days I've lost thousands of dollars on a Sunday morning while I was trying to wear my suit to come and preach. Altogether, I've lost tens of thousands of dollars in a very short period of time. This is not audio money I'm talking about, though. Not figurative. This is not, what do they call it? You understand? But it doesn't. It just really shows to me, I know. It shows, obviously, the days ahead are going to be much more glorious. Altogether, right? But I don't believe that there is any amount that I will really lose like that and I will feel like I cannot serve Jesus. Can it be hurtful? It can be hurtful, right? But I have to get myself in a point of fear and, you know, like I always say to some of my mentees, I say, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything. You know, that you get yourself into a situation where you say, I don't want to be. When you see people a lot of times who say they're getting into their 30s or their 20s or 40s already, and they say they just don't want to get married because of the kind of, they don't want to get married because of the kind of men that, you know, they've come across and all those kind of things. You see, a lot of times, just check it very well. It just goes back to, what have you paid attention to? Because the things you pay attention to can either build your fear or build your faith. Please note that. The things you pay attention to can either build your fear or build your faith. Yeah, there's no neutral ground. It can either build your fear or build your faith. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah, you know, there's a different thing if you say, I don't want to get married because I want to dedicate my life to serving Jesus. I want to be like Paul. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like all the likes. Yeah, but if you realize that, and the reason why I'm saying it this way is because if you can identify the problem, you know how to start getting the solution. You know what I'm trying to say? If you can identify the problem, you know how to start getting the solution. Yeah. So, dear saints, regardless of what comes your way, regardless of the scenario, regardless of the experience, right? Just always use experiences that happen around you as a gauge to what your heart has been paying attention to. Yeah. A gauge as to what your heart has been paying attention to. All right. So, I'll just close here. Right. You know, I gave us a task last week. Right. I'll just close here. So, one of the things you must always remind yourself about is the fact that your mouth is given to you to chart the course of your life. What do you want to see in your life? What do you want to see in the lives of your children? Yeah, that's why I can't imagine a Christian parent, a believing parent, who doesn't talk to their child what they want to see in the lives of their child. If you don't talk to your children, the world is talking to your children. Yeah. You see, this life, I found out there's nothing like neutrality. You can't be neutral. Not like neutrality. If you're not talking to your children, the world is talking to them. If you're not talking to your heart, the world is talking to your heart. All together. So it's very, very important for us as believers to ensure that we get ourselves with a sense of intentionality to say the things we want to see in our environment. You know, I remember when I first got married to my wife, anytime she has any medication or anything she's taking, she will usually say, maybe, have you taken your drug or have you taken my drug? You know, simple as that. She probably didn't understand what I was doing then. But you don't say that in my house. You don't say, have you taken, let me go and take my drug. What is my drug? It's possession. Is that not correct? Yeah. So you own it. Now, so anyway, I say, don't be too cynical. Okay, Celinda, Oga, Madam, yeah, don't be too cynical, understand. Yeah, but we don't say it in my atmosphere. Do you not understand that? Do you know that there are some people, oh, gracious Father, a friend of mine, this was in my university. Yes, a friend of mine, let me try and remember the exact story, but I will confirm it just to actually see if this is the exact story. Somebody has slammed a door of one of our hostel rooms on his hand. Was it that? Right? Something like that. Right? And somebody gave them, I'm trying to remember what the exact story, but let me try and, you know, fictional this story. So something terrible had happened, and somebody had a drug tablet, right? And just presented to that person that this is the cure to that thing. And as soon as the person took the drug, a few minutes after the person got better, he was later they now told the person that thing you took had nothing to do with pain. So I just tried to get the exact story. What am I trying to say? Sometimes some things that are said to you affects your psychology, then affects what you call healing process. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So if you keep saying, this night I want to sleep very long, then I'm going to take my drug. You've programmed your mind to accept that you cannot sleep without the drug. And even if the drug is not... So even if somebody replaces that drug and puts another pill in place of that pill and it's normal paracetamol, when you take it and you swallow it and lie down, you may actually sleep that night. That's the way the mind works. Words that are said, actions that are taken, when you make it your thing, when you make it, you know, just be very careful. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, well, been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. I hope you've been instructed by that, right? Go over the teachings last week. Go over again this teaching again. Pay a lot of attention to the things that we said. Trusting God that it's been instructive and it's been helpful.